Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not Tyson Coughlin. No. My name is MJ Maldonado, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as your youth pastor. We have a crazy amount of fun, and those kids are awesome, and I've just had the best time ever serving as their youth pastor. Speaking of getting after it, I have had a couple pandemic projects that I have been focusing on to keep myself busy throughout the COVID pandemic. And my most pride and joy, my favorite pandemic project is this one I call my van life project. And if you don't know what a van life van is, it's basically an old van that you buy and you convert it into a camper, right? So you can go on all these cool adventures. And that's what I've been working on. And I have to finish. I'm at the point where I kind of have to finish up this van because I'm moving, and the house I'm moving to doesn't really have a nice driveway and doesn't really have a place for me to work at. So I really have to get this van done. And a couple weeks ago, we were right there, man. We're getting close, and we're almost there. And we got to get it done. So, you know, we're just working at this van. And one thing you need to know about me is, and my friends, is that, you know, we're not carpenters. We don't really know what we're doing. We call ourselves YouTube carpenters because everything we know, we've learned from YouTube. So we don't really have, like, you wouldn't know the names of everything, right? Of like all the different kinds of wood and all the kinds of tools. So we kind of make up our own lingo. So thin plywood and thick plywood is basically what makes up like 90% of this van. So the thin plywood, we call it thin boy. The thick plywood, we call it thick boy. So I'm putting on this thin boy and this thick boy. We're getting after it. I have a nail gun, which if you've never used a nail gun before, it literally is the most exhilarating thing. I have never felt more like a man than when I'm holding a nail gun. And I grew up kind of in a rough neighborhood, so I hold my nail gun sideways and I'm just like, boom, putting in this thick boy, putting in this thin boy. This van's getting built. It's awesome. We're getting after it. And all of a sudden, I hear this woman scream. I'm like, what the heck is that? I just keep working. And I hear it again, but it's like a blood-curdling scream. Like, she's screaming out for help. So I go out to the end of my street, and the street that I live on is kind of like on the corner of a very, very busy road in Charlotte. And it is like rush hour. People are going 65 miles per hour. Like, it's super busy. But it's broad daylight, and surely on the other side of the street, I see something very alarming. There's a woman being dragged by her hair, being beat up by a man in broad daylight. So I try to cross the street, but I can't because people are going super fast, 65 miles an hour. And I'm trying to yell at the guy, let her go, let her go. And my friend's there with me, and we're yelling at him, let her go, let her go. But we try to cross, but a car comes, and we can't get across. So I'm trying to, like, wave down these drivers, and I'm like, hey, stop, look what's going on. But little do I know, after looking at them, they see what's going on already. Some of them are even slowing down enough to take a picture or a video, but they just keep going. I'm like, don't you see what's happening? There's a woman being beaten up right in the middle of the street. Stop. But nobody stops. Oh, maybe they're just too busy. Oh, maybe they had to cook dinner. I don't know. Some of them even had those really cool church bumper stickers on their car. So I don't know, maybe they had like a church meeting to get to or something, and they couldn't stop. But they don't stop. And this guy just keeps beating this woman. And I'm just like, please stop. So we just make a break for it. We go right between all the cars and we run across the street. And surely enough, the guy, he runs away, and we get this woman medical attention and the help that she needs. And she's okay, praise God. But not before she gets a couple licks in. Why didn't anybody stop? Why didn't they just see what was happening and stop? I mean, there's a woman being beat up, come on. But they didn't. Some of them were church folk too, and they didn't stop. And it reminds me of the story in the Bible. I want you guys to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. I'll give you a second. This is a parable of the Good Samaritan. This is just like what happened to me a couple weeks ago. This is what it says. Jesus replied with the story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, someone high up in the church. Surely they're going to help, right? But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Maybe he had, his kids were at home and they were acting up. I don't know. Maybe he was busy. But then a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Maybe he had a meeting to get to. Maybe his shift just ended and he was too tired to help. I don't know. Then a despised Samaritan came along, someone that the Jews would have hated. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. That would have been enough, but he doesn't stop there. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of them. So he put him in his car and brought him to a hotel, but he doesn't stop there. That would have been enough, but he doesn't stop. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. That would have been enough, but he doesn't stop there. If his bill runs higher, he says, than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. This is what Jesus said. This is so profound. He says, now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. Some man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus goes, yep, that's right. He doesn't explain it in great detail. He goes, yep, that's right. Now go and do the same. Go and do the same. All too often, the religious people forget who we are, that we are the body. See, church, indecision to serve God is a decision to be disobedient to him. Look at your neighbor, tell him, indecision is a decision. See, Satan is trying to hold our city down, whether it be from bondage, from abuse, maybe it's poverty, some other kind of ungodliness, but Satan is holding our city down. I'm about to get hype in here. But only, church, only if they had a Savior. Only if there was someone or some people that knew the truth, that knew the way, that knew the life, and they could tell those people about him. If only there was a body, church. Come on, somebody. If only there was a body that would respond to the needs of our city, to the people that are crying out for help. If only we had a body. See, church, we are the body. Look at your neighbor, tell them, we are the body. See, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. Let's go ahead and get our theology right real quick. Let's turn to Colossians 1:18. This is what the Bible says. It says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So we are the body, right? Look at your neighbor, tell him, we are the body. So this is what God wants the church to look like, right? He wants God or Christ to be at the head. He wants us to be the body. Christ is the head. We are the body, right? So if we are the body, we act on behalf of the commands of the head, right? Listen to this. I'm about to break this down for you. Listen to this. We are the body, right? Christ is the head. So when Christ moves on earth, he uses the body. I'm going to repeat that one more time. When God moves, he uses the body. When he moves on earth, he uses the body. I'm going to give you guys an example. I couldn't think of one better than this because this one's kind of gross. So just bear with me. If you were to cut off your finger and remove it, it would no longer communicate with the head, right? It doesn't receive signals anymore. In fact, it would just die. What if you just held it like really close to your body, maybe a few inches away? Still, it would die, it would rot, and it would be useless to the body, right? In that same respect, we have to be tight to the body to be part of the body. Church, I believe that God is calling the church to be tight. Look at your neighbor, tell them, get tight. In order to be used by the body, we have to be tight to the body. Amen, church? So in order for the body to communicate, with the head, it's got to be tight. It's got to be tight. Tell your neighbor, tell him, lose your slack. Lose your slack. How do we be tight to the body? Step one is to lose your slack. I need one brave volunteer to come on stage. Y'all know I was going to pick Steph anyways. Y'all know. That's why y'all didn't raise your hands. So listen to this. We have to be tight to the body in order to communicate with the body, right? We have to be tight to the body. And new believers do this really well. Whenever I get on the phone with a new believer, they are like on fire with this. They do this really well. They move because they're tight with the body, right? So hold that, face that way. So they're tight to the body. They're like, how many teams do you have at Vision? 15? 30? Sign me up for every single team. I want to serve everywhere. I want to be tight to the body. I'm like, all right, we'll get you signed up. And so when the body moves, they move because they're tight to the body, right? When the body moves, they move. So when I move, when you feel that tug on the rope, I want you to move with me, right? So, hey, you know, we're hosting an event. We're going to host a block party for 2020 youth, and kids are going to get saved. You need to be a part of it. She knows about it because she's tight with the body. So when the body moves, they move. And when you move with the body, you take part in the blessing. When you move with the body, you take part in the blessing because you're tight to the body. Amen, church? But here's what happens over time. Over time, we say, you know, I would go to Connect Group this week, but man, I just had a long week at work, and I just need some time to just to myself to rest. So go ahead and take a step forward, and we create slack. You know, I would serve this week. I know it's my turn to serve, but you know, man, we were supposed to go to the lake this weekend, and so we distanced ourselves even further. What did Peter do when Caiaphas took Jesus? He followed from a distance, right? And what's the title of that chapter? Peter denies Jesus. So we make all these excuses, and we move further and further away from the body of Christ. And now, when the body moves, move with me. She can't feel it because there's too much slack. Look at your neighbor, tell him, lose your slack. There's too much slack. We have to be tight to the body to listen to what God has for us and has for his church. You got to lose your slack. Look at your neighbor, tell him, lose your slack. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, lose your slack. So look at all your neighbors. But over time, what happens is we end up just dropping our rope altogether. And we just become disconnected from the body. We just go do our own thing. We come to church when it's convenient. We serve when we feel like it. Not in the summertime because, you know, we're going on vacation, stuff like that. We just do it whenever it's convenient. Amen, church? Come on, I know this is for somebody out here. Thank you for help. But give Stephanie a round of applause. She's one of our youth leaders. She's incredible. But we create this slack, and what happens when we create this slack, we're just kind of in limbo, right? We're looking for support somewhere. I hear this all the time from believers. Man, my I feel like my spiritual life is kind of plateaued a little bit. Like I don't feel like I'm hearing from God. Well, maybe you're far from the body. And so we look to the world to support us. Well, maybe if I just had a little bit more money, maybe if I just stopped tithing to the church and kept that money to myself. It's like, I know COVID is crazy right now. I might not have a job tomorrow. So maybe if I kept more of that money to myself, I'd be happier. Maybe if I just married someone else. Maybe if I was with somebody else, maybe my spiritual life wouldn't be like this. Maybe my depression would go away. And so we pick up these chains. Maybe if I did this, maybe if I did that. And so we hold these chains and we pick up these chains and we carry them with us. And then we ask ourselves, why does it feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders? Why can't I hear God? Well, maybe you're not searching for God. Maybe you're holding on to chains, church. You see where I'm going with this? Pick up your rope. The Bible says that the yoke is easy, my yoke is easy, and the burden is light. If your burden is heavy right now, you might not be living for the Lord. Just a heads up. The chains were already broken, church. You have been set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let him go at the feet of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Pick up your rope. Get tight with God. Get tight with the body. Get tight. When God moves, you move. And if the world is on your shoulders, maybe you just got to set down your chains at the feet of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on. See, the religious people weren't busy. They didn't have a meeting to go to. The religious people in that story were so far from the heart of God that they couldn't understand. They couldn't even see when he brought them someone who needed to feel his love. That's right. They weren't busy. They were far from God. The second step and being part of the body. And if you haven't caught on yet, the title of this sermon is Be the Body. So if you're taking notes today, and by the way, I would encourage you to take notes, because if you don't take notes, chances are you're not going to get anything from this sermon. I'm going to ask you what it was about when we walk out, and you're going to be like, I don't remember, because you didn't take notes. Taking notes helps you to remember. Let's get something out of this sermon. Let's take notes. Pull out your phone, or if you have a piece of paper, write it down. But I really want you guys to get something out of this, because I feel God has a word for you, for every single person in this room through this sermon. Step two in being the body is to find your part. Find your part. Go ahead and write that down. Find your part. I want you guys to turn to 1 Corinthians 12:14. 1 Corinthians 12:14. So what the Bible says. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. This is what he says. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? See, we all are part of the body. We all might be different. We might have different abilities. We might look different. We might talk different. It doesn't matter. We are all part of the body. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you are part of the body. We're part of the body. So one thing I want to mention to you guys real quick. Finding your part is a lot easier than what it sounds like. Especially here at Vision Church. I truly believe, and now this isn't biased, I truly believe that Vision Church is one of the greatest places to serve. And I'm gonna give you five reasons why. Five reasons. One of the reasons that Vision Church is the greatest place, one of the greatest places to serve as a Christian, is because we have a high calling, and we are realizing that right now. Look at our building. Look at the resources that God has given us. God is entrusting us with a lot because he's going to give us a lot of people coming to Charlotte to teach them about Jesus. We have a high calling. It's unfolding before our eyes. The second reason is that if you don't know what you want to do, which might be a lot of you guys, if you don't know where you want to serve, we make it easy for you. The burden is light. And here at Vision Church, we make the burden light. If you don't know, all you have to do is sign up for next steps, and someone will call you, and they'll talk to you and walk you through, hey, what are you interested in? What do you see yourself? They'll ask you a series of questions to help you uncover where your part is. We make it easier for you. Step three, the third reason why I believe this is one of the best places to serve, is that we protect our volunteers. It is truly the heart of Vision Church to protect our volunteers. And the reason that we do that is because we know, and I know a lot of churches do this, if you say yes to something, they'll use you. If you say yes to that, they'll use you. If they're like, hey, we need you to serve Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they'll use you all of those days. They won't protect you. They'll use you as much as they can until you burn out. And we know that burnout is real, and it does not make you an efficient volunteer. It does not make you an efficient servant. So we protect our volunteers. I'll give you an example of how we do this. At 2020 Youth, all of our volunteers need to take 1 month off of serving everywhere. Why? Because if you get burnt out, you're not going to be an effective leader. If you get burnt out, you're not going to be an effective mentor. We give you a month off so that you come back refreshed. You come back a more mature Christian. We know that the body needs rest, right? So we let you rest here at Vision Church. The fourth reason that I believe this is one of the best places to serve is because there is a spot for every single person. It does not matter what ability you have, what disability you have. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what your background is. There is some place for you to serve here at Vision Church. There's a spot for everybody. The fifth reason is because our heart is to pour into our volunteers tremendously. See, at Vision, at 2020 Youth, one of my philosophies is that I pour more into my team than I do even to my students. Why? Because my volunteers are my ministry. They are doing the ministry. Listen to this. If you give me 60 days at 2020 Youth, I promise that I will pour more into your life than even the lives of our students. I will pour more into your life than even the lives of our students. Why? Because you're the ministry. And here's what happens. Here's what happens, church. When I do that, not only do you have the opportunity to change the future of our world, but you will come out of it a more mature Christian. We protect our volunteers. We love them and we pour into them. You'll come out a more mature Christian. And if youth isn't your thing, if it's not youth, there's many other ways for you to serve here at Vision Church. There's a place for everybody. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell them, get tight. Get tight, there's a place for you. Get tight. Step three is to get braided. That's right, I said get braided. And if you're bald and you don't have a lot of hair, it's okay. This applies to you too, I promise. Get braided. I want everyone to turn to 1 Corinthians 1:10. This is what the Bible says. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He's giving them direction. Paul says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Rather, be of one mind, united and in purpose. One mind. How do you be of one mind with somebody else? You gotta get tight with them, right? How do you be of one mind, united in purpose with somebody else? You gotta get tight. Look at your neighbor, tell them, get tight. The easiest way to get tight with people here at Vision Church is to join a connect group. It's the easiest thing you can do. You can do it right from your phone, right, Tyson? Go on your phone, scroll down, join a connect group. It's the easiest way to get tight with people. Join a connect group. And I hear this all the time. Oh, MJ, but this, you know, you don't really have the connect groups that are like near my house. And I'd rather be in a connect group that does X, Y, Z. And you guys don't really have that. Well, congratulations. Your calling is probably to start a connect group. You can do that here pretty easily, right online, right on your phone. Come on, somebody. Don't make excuses. Don't distance yourself. Get tight. Here's the one that everybody hates. Talk to people that you don't recognize here at church. I don't know why everybody hates that. We don't like to do that here at church. But talk to someone that you don't know here at church. It's why I tell you to turn to your neighbors, because I'm hoping that you don't know them and you can build a relationship with somebody. And as often as possible, church, build strong relationships with the people in this church. Because when you do that, here's what happens. You get braided. The Bible says that a triple braided cord is not what? Easily broken. Get braided. Get braided. Get tight. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, get tight. Don't, we gotta lose your slack. We gotta get tight as a church. Let's get braided. Let's do this together. And I used that braid here just recently, not too long ago. See, I didn't wanna preach today. I didn't. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd be lying if I said I did. See, just last week, my dad got in a really bad accident. I got a call from my mom, said that he totaled his car and that he was at the hospital and he needed spine surgery. I broke down. I just started weeping. When she showed me the picture of the car, I realized that I was really close to losing my father. I was really, really, really close. It is only by the grace of God that he is here today. But see, church, I got braided. See, we have this really cool group chat we have with all of our directors. And I didn't know where to turn, and I didn't want to preach this week. So I just texted them. I said, hey, y'all, I don't know what's going on with my dad. I don't know if he can walk. I don't know if he'll ever be able to walk again. I'm not sure what's going on. My mom can't see him because of coronavirus. She can't go in the hospital. I don't know what's going on, but could y'all just pray for my dad? And I got calls from my friends. I got a call from Pastor Tyson. He prayed with me over the phone. I got braided. See, while I was pulling away from the body, I had two others right next to me, pulling me back into the body. And when Tyson asked me, MJ, do you still want to preach? I said, you know what? I do, because this is what my father would have wanted me to do. And you reminded me of that because I was braided. I got tight. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, get tight. Get braided. Get tight. Lose your slack. Come on. Come on. Stop slacking. Stop slacking. Step four is to love people more than you fear death. Turn your Bible one more time to 1 Corinthians 15:29. So what Paul says. If the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized for those who are dead? Why do it unless the dead will someday rise again. And why should we ourselves risk our lives by the hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done in you. Paul faced death daily. As a matter of fact, a lot of our brothers and sisters all over the world face death daily for sharing their faith. They face imprisonment. They face being killed. They face torture for sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Y'all, can I be real with you for a second? We are spoiled here as Americans. We have been spoiled. We can do whatever we want, whenever we want. We can worship. We can do whatever we want. We can be Christians. We can have a Bible. We can bring a Bible to a public space. We're not gonna get imprisoned. We're not gonna get killed. We've been spoiled. The two greatest commandments are to love God and love thy neighbor, even if things get scary, even if you might die. When Jesus was tortured on the cross, when he faced an imminent death, and they mocked him and they spit on him, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Even when death is imminent, you are still called to love your neighbor. The calling is still there even when something scary happens. Look at your neighbor, tell him, death doesn't stop the call. I want you to write that down. Death doesn't stop the call. When we fear death more than we love our neighbors, we make God smaller than death. When the whole reason that we come here to worship today, church, is that he defeated the grave. Come on, somebody. Come on. He's bigger than death. And when we lose sight of that, church, remember that your job didn't conquer the grave. Your boss isn't Jesus, and your routines didn't leave behind an empty tomb, church. It was Jesus. Stop slacking. Come on, get tight to the body, church. It was Jesus. Your jobs, your routines, whatever you got going on isn't going to save you or anybody else. It's only Jesus. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness in this place? See, vision is a lot like the church at Corinth, the church that Paul is talking about here. We're just talking to. And one of the reasons why is because the Bible says that Corinth, people there had a lot of loose morals. That's what I'm going to say. I know there's some kids in the audience, so I'm not going to explain anything more than that. But I believe if the people of Corinth lived here today in Charlotte, they'd be on Tinder, swiping right, trying to get with everybody. A lot like the culture today. A lot like the people that live in Charlotte today. The Bible says that Corinth, the city of Corinth, had spokes going out in every single direction from it, which means that there were roads going out in every single direction. So a lot of people were coming to Corinth. Last time I checked, Charlotte is one of the fastest growing cities in America. There's a lot of people coming here. We got people from the north, you got people from Boston, you got people from California, we got people from the Ukraine, we got people from everywhere coming over here. It's a lot like the city of Corinth. But see, church, I think we just got to listen to what Paul is saying here, what he's directing the church at Corinth to be. Let's listen to what Paul is telling this church, because they're not very different from us. And there are people coming here from everywhere that do not know Jesus. What if we were the church that they would come to? What if we were the people that love them so much that they would realize that there's a Savior, there's a God that loves them, and they would give their lives to Jesus? What if it was us? What if we didn't drive by and say, hey, you know, someone else will get to it. Someone else will help them. What if we were the church at Corinth that said, hey, I'm gonna take a stand. I'm gonna help these people. There are too many people coming in here that don't know Jesus, and I'm gonna make a difference. I'm gonna change that. What if we were the church? Come on, somebody. What if we were the church? What if we were the body? What if we were the body? I'm not gonna preach for too much longer, church, but I want to just share something quickly with you. And I don't know where you're at with your relationship with God. I don't know if you've been far from him for quite some time. Maybe you just kind of come to church whenever it's convenient. Maybe you help out whenever it's convenient. Maybe you've come here only for a little, you know, a couple weeks. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all. I wanted to read something to you to encourage you. The Bible says this, Matthew 27:50. This is just as Jesus died on the cross. He says, the Bible says, then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs open. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to talk to you guys for a second. I'm done preaching. I just want to talk for a second. I don't know where you're at, but I love that picture of the veil being torn. Because you know what? The veil, that curtain, blocked us from the Holy of Holies, right? In the temple where the presence of God was kept. So when that veil was torn, you know what happened? You know what that was symbolic of? That there is nothing stopping you. There's nothing keeping you from the presence of God. You know that distance? That distance that we create sometimes with our excuses? It's really just in our head. It's not real. It's not. Because, church, the reality is there's just one prayer, church, one act of repentance can seal that gap. No matter how far you've come from the body of Christ, no matter how far you've strayed away from him, there's just one act of repentance. That's all you need to come back into a relationship with him. And I don't know where you're at with your relationship with Christ right now. I don't know. But there's a piece of scripture in John that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody, no matter how far you've strayed, whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, but I want to give you that opportunity today. I think that's appropriate. And maybe you can pray this in your heart as well. Maybe if you strayed away from him for quite some time and you've been away from the body, maybe you should pray this as well. But I want everyone in this room to pray this prayer after me out loud, loudly, for the benefit of those who are praying it for the first time. I want you to say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. God, today I ask, save me. And in exchange, I will spend my life following you. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed and just reflect on that for a minute. I don't know where you're at today with your relationship with God, but if you made a decision today to come into the family of God, we want to celebrate with you. I just want to ask you to just stand up right now. Stand up right now. If you made that decision, if you made a decision to come back to the family of God, stand up right now. And in unity of those who are standing or online watching this, I want everyone in this church to stand up right now. Let's take a stand, church. Let's be the body of Christ. Amen, church. Let's do it. Let's be the body. Let's not make excuses. Let's get tight. Let's join a connect group. Let's build relationships. Let's be there for this city. I'm just gonna pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that whoever this sermon was for, God, whatever reason you gave me this sermon today, God, that person, God, that you would just soften their heart, God, that they would come back into a relationship with you, God, and I pray that they wouldn't do it alone, God. That if they made a decision to come back to the body, God, that they would tell somebody, that they would get braided, God. God, I pray that we would just be a body, God, that we would just follow the call. It is in your son's name that I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.